Does anybody, did anybody coming here this morning not spend a few minutes, or an hour if you're Jono, looking in the mirror? I mean, honestly, we could look around the room right now and pick on a few people, couldn't we? And go, yeah, I reckon that guy over there, he didn't quite spend long enough looking in the mirror. We could look across that side and say, well, I don't think that guy even owns a mirror. I don't know what he's come as. Nobody told me today was fancy dress, but clearly it is. And we could look at other people and say, yeah, I think that person spent plenty of time looking in the mirror. They look fantastic. A whole lot of you are looking at me like, what is he talking about? Yes, I'm Australian, and we talk funny. But if you had the privilege of standing up here and looking out, you would realize that you look funny. So I sound funny, you look funny, it doesn't matter. Let's see past the accents and see past the looking funny. I look funny too, okay? I'm not just being rude. But let's see past all that and hear what God's got to say. So I was talking about mirrors and looking in the mirror. And you're probably scratching your head going, why? What does it matter? And we all know that one person, don't we, who probably should spend a little more time in front of their mirror. You know, when you say, hi, it's good to see you this morning, and they go, hello, and their breakfast's in their teeth. And you're smelling chives. It's like, I just wanted to say hello. I didn't want to smell your breakfast. And then, you know when people sit down and their jeans like go up a little bit, like this? And this is irrelevant for young people because they don't wear socks. But for us older people who still wear socks, you look down and you see different colours. Unless they're arty people because they meant to do that. But if they're not arty people and they're wearing odd socks, you just know. Maybe they got dressed in the dark. They didn't notice the odd socks. But then when you see that, don't you start wondering, I wonder what else they got wrong? And you start looking, I've just got to pull those down again. You start looking for what else might have gone wrong this morning. You see one hair like up like this. You think, well, that's a bit weird. But you know, the book of James tells us that this Bible is our spiritual mirror. Now, I think part of the problem we see in the modern church is too often we want to use this thing as a window. To use it as a window, I can read it and try and look at Jono and say, yes, Jono, do you know the Bible says this? Do you know the Bible says that? You know you're not doing so great in some of those things, which is purely an illustration because he's awesome, right? He came to our church October. Our church is different because he came. I'll get back to my illustration in a minute if I remember. But our church is different. He came in and he prophesied some things into the life of our church that we're now living in the steps of becoming. He prophesied some key things about reaching the lost, seeing people saved, seeing people added. And we haven't had this conversation yet, but almost every Sunday, and I'm being careful not to overstate, but almost every Sunday since he came, we've seen people either saved or added to our church. I say saved or added because some that have come were already saved, but they've come and joined our church. And some that have come have no church experience or background at all, but have been saved. So we've seen saved and added and saved or added almost every week since you came. Our morning meeting finished a few hours ago. We had two new families this morning. I mean, this is an ongoing thing now for months, not just a few weeks. It wasn't just, hey, he was nice, I better invite someone. 3 weeks later, we forget. It's actually God has started doing something in our midst because of the deposit that was made. That's amazing. That's the beauty of partnership. Jono mentioned we're in partnership with this New Covenant Ministries International. What a blessing. We've got fivefold gifts all over the world that can come in and make a deposit into our churches. We're better, they're better. Partnership, it's so beautiful. Anyway, I was talking about Jono looking in the mirror. I was actually talking about looking through a window at Jono. But see, have you got an eye device there? A phone or something? Can you open it and put the camera on for me? Okay, so right now if I look on this screen, I can see all of you. I'll just snap a few photos. And that's sometimes how, look at that. That's sometimes how we try and read the Word of God. I'm sure we've all got a Bible app on our phone, right? So I would encourage you, when you're reading your Bible app on your phone, change the mode so that it's yourself you're seeing while you're reading. You need to charge your battery, buddy. Okay? See now on there? I can see me. That's the mode we need to learn to read the scriptures in, is this mirror mode, where when I'm reading it, I'm not thinking about anyone or everyone else, but I'm reading it, and the first face I'm seeing in there is, gee, you're not bad. That handsome Aussie. Has anyone ever seen a superhero movie? Don't worry, I'm going to get to 2 Corinthians in a minute. I've still got lots of minutes left. Have you ever noticed that most superhero movies have a theme or a storyline that goes something like this? I'm a perfectly normal person, just like everyone else. Oh, wait, no, I'm not. I'm different. I don't really know how or why I'm different. There must be some reason. I have super strengths and powers, and I can do incredible things. I should definitely do good things with these. Oh, look, I can fly. I can spin webs. I can do all these other mysterious things. But I'm going to use all my powers for good. And they always seem to, the space of one movie, they always seem to save the whole of humanity. Usually from the continent of America. I'm not entirely sure how that works, because Australia is a flipping long way from America. But hey, I feel safer because they have superheroes. But have you ever wondered where they get that theme from and why it's so popular? That's a scriptural theme. They've actually taken the Bible message, they've taken the Bible imagery and made movies with strange characters, and we love the story, we're drawn to it, and we're drawn into it, and it inspires us and makes us, we all walk out of superhero movies feeling like superheroes, right? We watch a boxing movie and we walk out and go, gee, I hope someone's trying to steal my car. Because I'm going to box them. Because I'm a boxer. Never had a lesson. Never trained once, but I just saw that movie. Bring it on. It gives us a confidence and a strength. That's a biblical theme. I'm going to show you. You know, this thing of integrity, which I'm just introducing now, it's something we hear a lot about, usually when there's been a display of a lack of it. So we expect our sports stars, maybe our politicians, maybe the movie stars, we expect them to be people of integrity. Our kids look to them as role models, and we want them to teach our kids how to be nice people. But the problem is, they're only good at sport, and maybe no one ever taught them how to be a nice person. So why do we trust them to teach our kids to be nice people? You know, even today, there's even this worse thing. These people called social media influencers. They're usually very good-looking people who are very good at doing nothing. but they do nothing in a particular brand of clothing or wearing a particular brand of something. And while they're doing nothing, they have their not-so-attractive friends take photos of them doing nothing. And then they post it to social media, and all our kids look at that and go, oh, wow, look how awesomely they're doing nothing. That's inspiring. I want to do nothing that awesomely. What brand are they wearing? I better go buy some of that. Inspiring, isn't it? But then when these people display a lack of integrity, when they do something wrong, you know, for our sports stars, and okay, I'm Aussie and we blew it last year, we get it. Don't hurt me. Right now, three of our best cricketers are unable to play cricket. What they did was poor. Very poor. Actually embarrassing. I'm glad I'm preaching here this year, not last year. But all of a sudden, everybody in Australia, I mean, there was this social media outcry of the kind of person that Steve Smith is. Now, I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a particularly good batsman. But I've never looked to him for input on how I should live. He can hit a ball with a stick. Good job. Let's pay him millions to do that. Good job. But let's not let him tell us how to live our lives. But as soon as we see a lack of integrity, we all fire up and question, oh, why was he even playing for Australia in the first place? Because he's good at hitting a ball with a stick. And that's what the game involves. You don't have to be an awesome person. You just have to be able to hit a ball with a stick. I'm talking cricket down a little bit. It's just a heart wound in Australia right now. It's been said, if you have integrity, that's really all that matters. And if you don't have integrity, that's also all that really matters. But how about this? To have real integrity, we need to have a deep revelation of our true identity. Because how can we be integral to something we don't understand? You know, Steve Smith probably thought he was being an integral cricketer. He was trying to win, and that's the goal. But he wasn't questioning his own identity. You're like, what kind of person am I supposed to be? He was just trying to play cricket. The same is true for us as believers. If we're going to be integrity, if we're going to be people of integrity, then we need to have a deep revelation and understanding of our identity. You know, there's a word in Scripture that we don't like, and I won't stay there long, don't worry. But the word is, we get the word hypocrite from it. And in the original context and language, they used this word to refer to actors in a play. They couldn't go down to the cinema and watch superhero movies. They didn't have cinemas yet. Or maybe superheroes either, I don't know. But they'd go see these plays, and the actors would play many roles. So the way they would distinguish between characters is they would hold masks. So when I was playing Jono, I would produce a Jono mask and hold Jono up in front of my face so you all knew, right now I'm being Jono. And then I would put that one away and pull out my Nick mask. And everybody would know, oh, okay, so right now he's playing the character of Nick. And the word we get from that description is this thing of hypocrite, and it means we have different faces for different places. So on a Sunday, we come to church and we hold up our I'm at church mask. How are you today? Wonderful, brother. Take the mask down for a second. Yesterday, I was terrible. I was sick. I was fed up. I was over love. I was in pain. I was broken. But today, I'm wonderful, brother. But then we go to work on Monday morning and we take our Sunday mask off. We put our Monday I'm at work mask on. How was your weekend? Yeah, great. What did you do? Not much. That's an Aussie answer for you. What's going on? Not much. How's things? Not bad. I didn't say how aren't they. I said how are they? You tell me they're not bad. How aren't things? Things aren't bad. That works. How are things? Not bad. That doesn't work. But that's how we speak. Anyway, my point is about these masks. We like to have all these different masks. Yeah, I'm at home with my family right now. I'm at work right now. Now I'm at church. Now I'm maybe going out with some of my friends who don't go to church. And we behave according to all these different masks. And what that is a lack of integrity because we're actually not secure in our identity. I want to show us some keys from 2 Corinthians 5 this morning about our identity, if I may. I'm going to read a few verses picking up from verse 17. It says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is anybody here this morning in Christ? About three of us. That's awesome. For the rest of the quiet people in this room, today could be your lucky day. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What I would propose to you from this passage is that we are those very superheroes that all the movies are speaking of. We even, the guy leading worship, Tian, even mentioned about identities and the natural and the supernatural. And God is in the process of putting the supernatural stamp over the natural stamp in our lives. This is our supernatural identity. When we look in our mirror, this is what we need to see. You know, earthly, natural mirrors, they lie sometimes. I stayed in the guest house last night and the mirror in that room lied to me this morning. Because I looked in it and a balding, overweight, middle-aged guy looked back at me. I went, you've got to be kidding. Who's that? Where's me? You know, that young, buff guy. Amazing how we age. We still, like, picture ourselves as, like, 22, 23, 24. I was out with some people that I won't mention this morning on the other night in a place that I won't mention either. And we were surrounded by young people. I mean, the oldest people there must have been 24. And without referencing anyone who was there. We're standing around looking cool, weren't we? And one of the people there says, "Oh, this is great. Do you reckon we're blending?" I'm looking around going, "Nah." Nah. They're all their conversations go a bit like this. When's Grandpa going home? So the point being, I think we need to spend more time looking in our supernatural spiritual mirror than in our earthly mirror. When I go out, like when I came here this morning, I didn't spend quite enough time looking in the mirror, as you can probably tell, because somehow or other with time zone changes, I thought I had about half an hour up my sleeve. And Jono told me, "Hey, we're waiting in the car. We'll see you just now." Okay. But we better not get caught short like that when it comes to the spiritual mirror. Because how do I stand here and preach the word of God with boldness and with confidence if I haven't got an awareness of my true spiritual identity? I need to know who Jesus sees me as. I need to know who God the Father says I am. I've got to rise up in the flesh and become that person that the Scripture says I am. Not just me, all of us. I'm way more inspired than I feel like I should be. It says we're a new creation. You know, when we're born, we come into existence. We didn't used to be, but now we are. The same thing happens when we're born again. Something that didn't exist before does now. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 5, the Bible says that we were dead in sin, but we were made alive in Christ. He breathed into us, and our earth suit, our body, our flesh, something in us called our spirit was made alive. Life became different from that moment because we were now carrying something that is alive and designed to thrive. In 1 Peter 3:18, it says that Jesus brings us to God, our flesh is put to death, and we are made alive in the Spirit. We are spiritual beings, and we need to have an awareness of what our spiritual being looks like, and this is the mirror for a reference. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2 says that we've been set free from the law of sin and death and into the freedom of the Spirit. And that word Spirit has a capital S. It means the Holy Spirit. We are born into the freedom of the Spirit. We can live with the Holy Spirit because we are now spiritual beings. Our spirit is alive and can commune with the Holy Spirit. Not only has the new come, but it says the old is gone. You know, the old is the flesh-driven life. Fleshy goals. Striving for earthly outcomes and success, and that person no longer exists. Amazing how their voice echoes around in our spiritual head, though. I can still hear the voice of the old me. Oh, just get caught up in the old things. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about spiritual disciplines. Don't put yourself under law and feel like you've got to read the Bible every day. Don't worry about that stuff. But then the Spirit, capital S, says, no, do worry about those things. In the natural, if we don't eat, we die. Yet in the spiritual, the Bible says of itself that it is our food. So if we don't eat, our spirit dies. We've got to eat. We've got to ingest. It's not about law or legalism. It's about sustaining ourselves for our future. Then it says we're reconciled to God. You know, the old me had a sin issue that caused a distance between me and God. But that guy died when this guy came into existence. And this guy was born without a sin issue. This guy was born already reconciled. Now I've got to live in the ongoing outworking of that reconciliation. When I'm saying me, it's for you too. It then says we're given the ministry of reconciliation. See, I think sometimes we think, oh, that's great, I've been reconciled. I'm so blessed. I was so bad and Jesus was so good, but I'm reconciled, it's all fine. But then it says he gives us the message of reconciliation, which means we need to tell other people that they too have been reconciled. You know, I don't mean to be controversial, and if this is any different to what your elders teach, then what they say is right. But from what I can see in Scripture, there is not one single person who is going to spend an eternity in hell away from Christ because of their sin. The only reason people will do that is because they refuse to accept the reconciliation, the redemption that comes through Christ. Because Romans says that the blood of Christ covers all sin, past, present, and future. Our sin issue's been taken away. Now it's just an issue of whether we accept the gift or not. We don't need to be known for going and telling people about their sin issue. We need to be known for telling people about their lack of sin issue and the reconciliation that's been given to them. We need to help them say, yes, I want that reconciliation. Thank you. Thank you for telling me the truth. Instead of condemning me for sin, thank you for releasing me with a message of reconciliation. Thank you for bringing me hope and life and righteousness and peace and joy through this message of reconciliation. Some of my best friends in the town I live in aren't believers. They don't come to my church. Imagine that. I think I'm the best pastor in town. And they don't come to my church. But why would they? They don't believe. The one of the things that these guys love about me is that I'm never bringing condemnation. And whenever we... they open their lives up to me and tell me about the problems in their businesses and their... Like, honestly, it's incredible. What a privilege. But the moment if I came out with the condemnation message, it's going to damage our friendship. It's hope. It's life. It's reconciliation. Does it take a little longer to get them in the kingdom? Maybe. But if it gets them in the kingdom, isn't it more effective? People of reconciliation. Oh dear. My countdown timer seems to run faster here. Let me finish with this then. It says that we are ambassadors for Christ. I want to make a few points about ambassadors because that's our identity. That's who we are and what we do. It says that God is bringing His message through us. So when He wants to tell our friends about their reconciliation that's available to them, He entrusts that message to us. He says, please will you tell them? Let's just assume for a moment that I am an ambassador from Australia in South Africa. What that means is that I actually have to live in South Africa. And I am employed by the Australian government. I'm paid by the Australian government in Australian dollars, though I live here. I have to comply with all Australian laws and yours. This is what God is saying about us. This is not our home. This is just where we live. Our home is in heaven. Our employer is in heaven. And we are paid in heavenly dollars, which we don't access yet. We get those when we get there. But how's our earning ratio going? You know, to earn the heavenly dollars for our heavenly home, we need to be engaging in heavenly activities. See, if I'm the Australian ambassador in South Africa, I've got to uphold Australia. I've got to be available to the Australians that are here to help them out. I've got to be available. I've got to help the Australians that are here, and I've got to represent Australia to everyone else. That's what God's saying to us. Hey, guys, I'm going to pay you for eternity in heavenly dollars, but please represent me. Please be my hands and my feet to the humans around you. My message is reconciliation. I did everything possible to see every human saved and set free from sin and death. Please help me get that message across to people that I love them and that I've saved them and I want to see them restored to relationship with me. The interesting thing about an ambassador is the only time we're not on duty is when we're at home in the place that sent us. So if I'm an Australian ambassador here, if the whole time I'm here, I'm on duty. The only time I'm not on duty is when I'm back at home in Australia. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but a quick look around will help us see that this is not heaven. It's pretty good. It's a lovely place. But it's not heaven, which means we're still on duty. Until we're there, we're on duty as ambassadors. This is our identity. Now, this might sound hard, but what we've got to understand is Ephesians 2 tells us that God gives us His Spirit and His power for His task. So when we're engaging in His task, His mission, we do it in His power. How awesome is that? And guys in my town have learnt, when I say, how's things going? How are you? They've learnt not to say, oh, I'm a bit tired. Because my response to that is usually something like, well, then clearly you're not engaged in His mission, in His power. Stop doing your own thing. People say, oh, I can't come to church this Sunday, I'm a bit tired. Then you're coming to church in your own strength. Come in His. He's got plenty. I can say this because you're all here. You obviously did this. We've got to take on His power for His things, and the kingdom is His things, and He gives us everything we need. We have no lack. This is our spiritual mirror speaking to us. We've got to learn to get up in the mornings, look in that mirror, or get up in the afternoon if you're an ex-musician. Whenever you get up, look in that mirror, say, well, who am I? What am I today? You are an overcomer. You are filled with the power of a living God. You are an ambassador. You have the power of God residing within you. You are an ambassador given His task to bring His message of reconciliation. Imagine if we all went out every day with those thoughts in our heads. How would a city around us look if we all started to live out our true identity with absolute integrity? We can change nations. I'm not going to get there, but John 15, 16 to 19. If you're a note taker, good on you. Write that down, John 15, 16 to 19. There's a whole lot of points in there about our new identity. John 6, 38. Jesus told us He's not here to do His own will, but the will of Him who sent Him. That's the same for us. We're not here to do our own will. We're here to do the will of Him who sent us. You know, we do this thing, and I'm going to finish here, but we do this thing in Christianity where we see it in the book of Acts. We get saved, we get baptized. And what that baptism is, it's a representative of the old is gone, he's buried, and the new has come. We put the old person down under the water and bury them there. And then the new person comes up out of the water, made alive in Christ. But I think so often we come up out of that water and we go, oh, I'm a new creation. The old's gone, the new's come. It's lucky that the new person likes all the same things the old person did. It's lucky the new person has the same career path in mind that the old person did. I think sometimes there needs to be some change between what the old person did and liked and aspired to and what the new person does and is living out and is aspiring to. And I think God wants to help establish for us today this new identity. This new identity.